Father, for his goodness, his blessings to all of us. And we do have much to be thankful for. Let me share a few prayer requests with you that we need to pray for. First of all, to praise the Lord for, I would reiterate what Ron said. Good to see Brother Ron Sonchek here today. And are you ready? I'll race you around the parking lot. I'll give you a head start. And I'll win today. But praise the Lord. He's doing good. And made a lot of progress. Everybody's been praying for you. Continue to pray for Ron and his healing. And the Lord will have his continued hand upon him, if you will. Also continue to pray for one of our other deacons, Brother Bob Wilcox, and his full recovery in that. Just pray for Brother Bob, and he'll continue to get stronger, and he'll be able to get out and about. Raise your hand, brother, back here. He's back here today. Made it to church today. So good to see him, and continue to pray for him. Then a few others that we need to continue to pray for. Linda Lockwood, and we've been praying for Linda. It's been a rough week for her. She's still in the hospital. She's now out of ICU, off of a ventilator. She's in a step-down unit, and that kind of touch and go. We wasn't sure this week if the Lord was going to take her on home to heaven or not, but you know, we never know. God orders the day of our birth, and God also orders the day of our passing, and so it's not time until God says it's time, and so when that time comes. But anyway, continue to pray for Linda. She's made improvement. She's off of a ventilator. She's not very strong yet. She still has some pneumonia in her lungs, still trying to get stronger, and we just need to continue to lift Linda up in prayer that she'll continue to be able to beat that, get stronger, and be able to get home here soon. I know she's praying for that. And then Marie Johnson in our church family. I don't know if Marie's in here or not. Where's she at? She just left to go out. Anyway, she just left to go to another part of the building. But pray for Marie. Found out she has lung cancer. They're going to be doing surgery on Marie. She's in the building today on March the 11th. And so if you will, just pray for her March the 11th. And if you would, keep her in prayer, if you would. This week, also, my wife and I had a chance to travel to Middletown, Ohio. And one of our previous worship leaders, Brother Jim Winters, led the music here at our church for about 10 years, back from about 1972 to about 1982. And Sharon went home to be with the Lord here a little over a week ago. And so just pray for the Winters family. My wife and I on Tuesday this week had a chance to attend her funeral in Middletown, Ohio at Grace Baptist Church. And they had a large gathering. They've been on the staff there 38 years. But they were here 10 years. They also served down in Fort Worth, Texas at the Worth Baptist Church. And Jimmy's doing pretty good, so he sends his greetings to all of you here. They have great memories here of this church, and they worked over in the church in Wayne when we were over there. And so just pray for the Winters family and Jim specifically, his daughter, Tawana, Tanya, and then their son, Damon. They have 12 grandchildren. Just keep them in prayer if you would. And then also, the Lord this week has chosen to take home to heaven Hazel Hinken and Pam. You want to raise your hand? This is Pam's mother, and Hazel's a great servant of the Lord. And so we'll be visiting with them, and once we get final arrangements on what the family's going to do, we'll get word out to you on that. I don't think anything has been set in stone yet, so we'll get information out to the congregation on that. Great, godly, Christian woman, and 85 years of age, and so a long, full life, and God has been good and used her in a mighty way and to serve the Lord. So we'll be praying for all the family, the Hinken family this week, and the Pierces and all them as they deal with that. So it's an opportunity, gentlemen, if you'll come at this time, it's an opportunity to receive the tithes and offerings this morning. And as we prepare to do that, want to recognize our missionary family of the week. This is Tim and Joy Gunther. The Gunther family serves in New Zealand with Dale and Janet Brown. And they've been faithful servants over there now for a few years. We do support them in their ministry. They're going to continue. They'll continue on the work there in New Zealand. And Dale and Janet will be retiring this year, sometime later this year, and they'll be coming home from New Zealand. And so just continue to pray for the work in New Zealand. They've done a great job over there, and the Gunthers will remain there and continue on as missionaries serving in that part of the world. So Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we receive the tithes and offerings today. Heavenly Father, God, we love you today. Thank you for the opportunity to be in the Lord's house. Thank you for the songs and praise and worship today. God, thank you that we can lift up your name, the Lord Jesus, and to recognize and to worship our Savior today. And God, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for your blessings. God, we do uplift these in prayer today, that you'll have your hand upon those that need you as a divine physician. God, that you would heal and strengthen their bodies, continue to give them strength and healing. And Father, especially be with the Winters family, Jim and his children and grandchildren, as they now, life goes on without Sharon being here. And then, God, we do pray for the Hinken family. You'll be with them this week as they prepare to make arrangements for Hazel. And what a great life that you've given to her and the faithful witness and testimony she's been for the cause of Christ. And so, Lord, just be with the Pierce family and all the Hinkins this week as they prepare to do that. God, thank you for being our Savior, our Lord, and that we can come to you and lift up your name and praise you for all your many blessings. Pray for our missionary families that serve around the world, specifically today, the Gunthers, and have your hand upon their family and upon the work there in New Zealand. Thank you that we could partner with them in our mission giving today. And God, we love you and thank you for the faithfulness of God's people in their giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. If you will, as they pass the offering place today, I would encourage you to continue to pray for the nation of Israel. Many of you are perhaps up to speed about it, but I know they've tried to reach an agreement there with Hamas and Gaza and all that's going on there, but I understand now there's been kind of a break in what's going on. I see Israel has cut off the humanitarian supply going into Gaza because of a breaking of an agreement they had, and that they're not willing to release the rest of the hostages. That thing is a very delicate issue going on there in Hamas with Israel and all this in that region. Just pray that somehow God that can continue to get settled and come to conclusion and get taken care of, and the rest of those hostages can be released, and we can eventually see peace come to that region, that part of the world. In your Bibles this morning, if you have your Bible, we're in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. If you don't have your Bible, there's a pew Bible there in the pew in front of you, and you're welcome to take that and use that. If you need a Bible, you're welcome to take that and take that home with you. And that, I want to preach a message today on God the Holy Spirit, who is our alongsider. I know it's a long word, but our alongsider. And thinking about this, and we're going to look at the transition here in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 of when Jesus left this earth. And as he left this earth, he transitioned and said that he would send the Holy Spirit of God, and he would be our comforter, he would be our guide, he would be the one that would reprove of sin and convict of sin. And so really the Holy Spirit, I would call it our alongsider. And no matter where you're at in life and the journey of life, no matter what you're going through in life, if you're going through a medical issue, the Holy Spirit is right there with you every step of the way. If you're going through some tragedy or difficulty or struggle in your family, the Holy Spirit is right there with you, going with you through whatever it is that you're going through. The Holy Spirit is our alongsider. He's the one that is there. He's the one that that we oftentimes don't give enough credit to, enough attention to, but you are not walking alone through whatever it is that you're on this journey here in life. And so the Holy Spirit is there with you every step of the way. Matter of fact, I'm always encouraged and find in the Bible it says that even before we pray, the Holy Spirit knows what we have need of. And as we pray and seek God's will and God's face, the Holy Spirit is very much an active part of our life. So let's look at it here, if you will, in the transition from Jesus to handing off the baton, if you will, to the Holy Spirit of God. And Jesus goes back to heaven, and the Holy Spirit comes and his ministry during the church age. It says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John, that would be John the Baptist, truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he, Jesus, was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men, these were the angels now, stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, and where both abode Peter and James and John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, and with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So as you see this event unfold, you see here the Lord Jesus ending his earthly ministry. It is now concluded. He's now gone through the virgin birth, the incarnation, 33 and a half years here upon the earth. He now has gone on to Calvary, has been crucified, was buried, was resurrected, and appeared back in resurrection form and made his appearance and gave his last words here on the earth. And as he went back up to heaven, he said that to wait and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power and the power of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit would come. And he did exactly that. Look in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. So now we see the Holy Spirit. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit coming down on the day of Pentecost. It says, and when the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2:1, was fully come, they were with all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, the Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, and Judea, Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, and Pergia, Pamphylia, and Egypt, and in parts of Libya, and about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, do we hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God? And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. Interesting here is the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost. He came in the power of God, and as they were all assembled together, many of them gathered from other parts of the region there during the time of Pentecost. They hear, as they spoke, the Holy Spirit came and spoke here in tongues with the interpretation that they were all able to hear the gospel that day clearly spoken in their own language, which was really what biblical tongues was all about. But we see here the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I call it really the alongsider, coming, the Greek word is parakletos, meaning a calling to one side. Really, the Holy Spirit is a calling of the Trinity, the calling of the Holy Spirit of God, calling of the third person of the Holy Spirit of God to come along beside you and I as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's an active helper. He is our counselor. He is our comforter. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate alongsider. Sometimes as you travel through life, you might think you're going it alone. You might think that you're in despair or discouragement or even depression or whatever you're going through and thinking that, man, you're on this journey and nobody's there with you. No, the Holy Spirit's there. He's with you all the time, every step, every moment, every move along the way. And so we believe in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is our ultimate alongsider. He's a helper with you and I forever. We believe and teach the Holy Spirit of God here, is a divine person. He's the third person of the Trinity. We have one God, three persons in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is a divine person. He is eternal. He possesses all the attributes and all the personalities of deity. He is God in the flesh. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 that he has an intellect. And we know that we're to love God first. The Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God in verse 10 there and teaches them to us. You want to learn the Bible, teacher, to teach you to learn the Bible, that he comes along beside you. He opens up your mind, opens up your heart. He allows you to comprehend what the Bible is teaching, even the deeper things of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is your teacher of the Word of God. Not only is he our comforter, we know he teaches us and teaches us so that you and I can have and come closer to having the mind of Christ. We know Ephesians tells us that he has emotions. We know 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that he has a will. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, divides to every man severely as he wills. We know the Bible says in the book of Psalms in chapter 139 talks about the omnipresence. You know, Satan is very much real and goes to and fro up and down the land. But Satan cannot be omnipresent. He's not everywhere present at the same time. The Bible says he goes to and fro, up and down the land. The Holy Spirit is different. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He is everywhere present at all times. That is the power of the Trinity. That is the power of an almighty God. That is the power. You know the amazing thing to me? I remember when I got to Bible college, one of my classmates in school was from Ethiopia. His name was Ephraim Zireh. And Ephraim had come from Ethiopia to seminary to study the Bible that he could be ordained as a minister of the gospel, go back to Ethiopia and began to win his own people to Christ. And we used to sit, and the thing that just kind of dealt with my mind a lot was, man, if God can work with a man in Ethiopia and bring him to Christ, save his soul, then call him to the ministry, he travels from Ethiopia to the state of Texas to go to Bible college. Here I am in Ohio in a church. I get saved at age 16 and then called to ministry at age 19 and brings the two together. And here we are, about the same age, two different parts of the world, studying the Scripture and the Holy Spirit at work at all times in Ethiopia. The Holy Spirit is at work in Israel. The Holy Spirit is at work right here. The Holy Spirit is at work in your heart and your life today. He is omnipresent. Not only that, the Holy Spirit is omniscient. That simply meaning that he is all-knowing. The Bible tells us that in Isaiah chapter 40, that the omniscience of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing he does not know. He knows the past, he knows the present, he knows the future. So the Holy Spirit of God knows better what you know or what you need in your life than you and I know what we need. He is not only that, but he is omnipotent. So he carries the same attributes as God the Father and and so many more attributes. But let me share with you the work of the Holy Spirit when I think about the work of the Holy Spirit. And all the divine attributes of the Holy Spirit, though, I want you to keep this in mind. He is co-equal and consubstantial, and in other words, having the same substance with the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know why sometimes, many times, people, they may not say that. They might think, well, he's not the same as God. No, the Holy Spirit is God. He is not less equal than God. The Holy Spirit is not less equal than the Lord Jesus Christ. They are all three, the same God, one God, three persons in the Godhead with three distinct functions as they carry out. You and I don't really realize today the power and the impact that the Trinity can have, and the work of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, as you see this transition here, Jesus came and started the local New Testament church. Put the church into action, put it into place here on earth, and then went back to heaven. What did he do? He sent then the power of the Holy Spirit of God to come down and empower the believers and empower the church. And he is the acting ingredient today in which works in the lives and the hearts of believers of the church. And what is the church? The church is not the building and the structures. The church is the body of the saved, born again, Bible-believing Christian that believes in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, saved by the precious blood atonement of Christ, and follow the Lord in believers' baptism. The church is you. You are the church. And one of these days, we realize today the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit is to execute the divine will in the lives in relation to all mankind. So we recognize today his sovereignty. We recognize that he was active. I wish I had the time today to take you back, but he was active in the creation back in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2. He was active in Matthew chapter 1 in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came to earth. We find that the Bible that you hold in your hand there today, the Word of God, was written not by men. Yes, there are 40 authors. But the Bible that you have in your hand was written by the Holy Spirit of God as he breathed upon, inspired upon, and the verbal inspiration of the Scripture. That's what makes the Bible so unique. It's a God-breathed, God-written, written by the Holy Spirit of God through the hands of people like Moses and Matthew and Luke and John and all these people that wrote the Bible. They didn't write what they wanted to write. They wrote what the Holy Spirit gave them to write, and they wrote it down. The Bible you and I have today is the God-breathed, verbally inspired, heaven-sent Word of God, written by the third person of the Trinity. It's a powerful book. No book will ever match what the Bible is. And so you think about here the work of the Holy Spirit. He gave us the written revelation of the work of God. And then I love this over in John. Let me show you something in John chapter 3. And that is the Holy Spirit plays an absolutely vital role in the work of salvation, of bringing people to Christ. Let me say this clearly today. No one gets saved without the work and the power of the Holy Spirit of God in their life. The Holy Spirit of God brings conviction. The Holy Spirit of God will bring a person to the point where they'll recognize that they're a sinner, they cannot get to heaven on their own, and they must trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So here in John chapter 3, here's how Jesus put it here in the Bible. He said, answering Nicodemus, he said, "Verily, verily, in verse 5, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, that Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." So every one of you that are here today that are saved, have made a profession of faith in Christ, you're born again, saved by the precious blood atonement of Christ. The Holy Spirit had a major role in allowing you to come to Christ. You didn't come to Christ on your own. You didn't choose God on your own. The Holy Spirit brought you to an awareness and brought you to that point where you made that decision to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So when we think about it in the Bible, the unique work of the Holy Spirit in the world that we in the age that we live in today, the church age, it all began right here on Pentecost when he came from the Father as promised by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "You wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power, and the Holy Spirit will come down and empower the church, empower the believers, and then begin to do a work in the hearts and the life of every believer." You say, "Well, when do you receive the Holy Spirit then?" He has a part in your salvation. When you get saved, you get all of the Holy Spirit of God in your life as a Christian. The third person of the Trinity. He comes, the Bible says that he indwells us and he lives within us. And if you will, he becomes our alongsider. He lives with us day by day. He knows better what we need than we think what we need. The Holy Spirit is very much real. Yeah, you can't see him, you can't touch him, you can't feel him. He is a spirit. The Bible says no man has seen God. God is a spirit. And then if you wanted to see God in the flesh, you'd have to see the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. To see God in the flesh is to see the Lord Jesus Christ. No man has seen the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a spirit. And so when you think about the unique work of the Holy Spirit to initiate, he is really comes to initiate and complete the building of the body of Christ. And who is the body of Christ? It's the believers, the converts, the followers, those that follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He is very much an active role in our lives today. The Holy Spirit's active role includes convicting the world of sin. The role of the Holy Spirit is convicting the world of righteousness, convicting the world of a coming judgment someday that we'll all stand in judgment someday before the Lord. Also, the Holy Spirit, if you'll notice when he comes glorifying and magnifying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and magnify his own name. He comes to magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came and gave his life for you and I that we could have eternal life. So here's what he does. Let me show you this. Go to John chapter 16, that he is a part of transforming your life into the image of Christ. John chapter 16. And if you will, look in verse 7, verse 8, and verse 9. Nevertheless, Jesus said here, I tell you the truth, John 16 and verse 7, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, and I showed you that he departed in Acts chapter 1, I will send him unto you. Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit unto you. We found that in Acts chapter 2, and he came. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So when you look at it here, we see that really one of the major roles, unique role of the Holy Spirit in the age that we live in today is transforming the believer's life into the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the Bible? When you think about what does the Bible teach about the Holy Spirit? Well, it teaches, number one, that he is supernatural, that he is God. He is our Creator God. He is part of that Trinity, and he is sovereign in regeneration. By that meaning, nobody's ever regenerated without the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I can save no one. The Pope can save no one. The priest can save nobody. No human being can bring another human being to Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Only the Holy Spirit of God can convict of sin and regenerate a person and bring salvation to that person. So the Bible teaches clearly that he is supernatural, that he is the sovereign agent in regeneration. Realizing then, if you will, I'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me show you this. That the Holy Spirit baptizing all believers into the body of Christ. Now the Bible teaches two forms of baptism. Let me just clarify this for you in the Bible today. The Bible teaches water baptism, and by that, Jesus, after he came and began his public ministry, you remember that he went to John the Baptist and required of him, asked of him to be baptized by water. Remember John saying, basically, no, you're the one that should baptize me. He did that as an example, and the baptism, that the water baptism will not save you. Water baptism will not get you to heaven. Water baptism is taught in the Bible that it is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So water baptism taught in the Bible is just simply a person saying, upon your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to his command, I baptize thee, my brother or sister, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's a picture of his death, burial, and resurrection. That's all it is. It's an outward identification of an inward change. I always kind of equate it to putting on a wedding ring. I have a wedding ring on because it says I'm married. I have my wife, I have one woman I am married to. When you get married, you put on that wedding ring, you make a commitment one to another. When you get baptized and follow the Lord upon your salvation experience, you get baptized by immersion. By the word baptism in the Greek and the means baptizo, it means to submerse, it means to put under. Scriptural, biblical baptism is not a baptism unless it's baptism by immersion. It's not sprinkling, it's not pouring, it's not infant baptism, it's not any other form of baptism except baptism by baptizo, by submersion, by putting under. The Bible teaches water baptism. The Bible also teaches spirit baptism. I want to show it to you here, one of the verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that when you and I get saved and come to Christ and convert to Christ, that we are baptized spiritually into the body of Christ. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit in your Bible, that's a capital S, Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So in Christ, the Bible teaches a spirit baptism. Spirit baptism happens at the moment you're converted to Christ, regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God into the body of Christ. Spirit baptism. It's not something that you and I do. It's not something you can make a decision. It comes automatically when you convert to Christ. Regeneration in your heart and repentance of your sin in Christ. You are spirit baptized into the body of Christ. The Bible's clear on teaching water baptism and spirit baptism. So the Holy Spirit indwells us. It sanctifies us. The Holy Spirit instructs us. And the Holy Spirit empowers you in service. It also seals you. Let me show you this. Go over to Romans chapter 8. So important for you to see this morning. Romans chapter 8, that when you're saved, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God at your conversion. So the Bible teaches a lot about the Holy Spirit, that he is the divine teacher. He guided the apostles. He guided the prophets into all truth. And every believer we know possesses the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God from the moment of salvation. So you're not walking alone. You're not living alone. You're not going through whatever struggle it is alone. Whatever your prayer needs and whatever's on your heart today, you're not alone. The Holy Spirit is a major part of your life and your daily life and your daily decisions as you live your life. Every believer possesses the indwelling presence and power of the Holy Spirit from the moment of salvation. It is the duty of all those born of the Spirit then to be filled with the Spirit and to be controlled by the Spirit. By that meaning that when you and I are saved, I wish when we got saved that all of us could get saved. By that meaning, body, soul, and spirit. The soul and the spirit get saved. But guess what? This flesh is left behind. And Romans chapter 7, Paul made it abundantly clear, we still struggle with this issue of sin in the life of the body even after salvation. But when you look at it, I always look at it interestingly, the blood of Christ covers our sin. And all of your sin, past, present, and future, are covered by the precious blood of Christ. So the Holy Spirit comes along. It is our responsibility of the Holy Spirit, the duty of all those born of the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit. And the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit, not only does he fill us with his Spirit, but also he gifts the church. The Holy Spirit glorifies neither himself nor his gifts but he glorifies Christ and through the body of Christ by putting within the church gifts that are given to people within the body of Christ. So I share with you, and I want you to think about these words. When you think about that, we live in a culture of change today. You walk through and we see a lot of change going on. He is our change agent. And with all the emphasis that we put on change, you know, do I place the same emphasis on spiritual change as on my cultural places in change today? One of the things I thought about is, you know, we have a prayer list. Every week we go through our Wednesday night Bible study, a prayer list. Even this morning I shared with you some things on the prayer list. So-and-so, this name and this prayer request. I often think about, you know, much of that deals with the human fleshly needs that we're going through. What I think many times gets overlooked is the spiritual needs that we're going through. What is going on spiritually in our life? What are those needs? You might be sitting here today and there's some real spiritual needs going on your life in Christ. And the Christian life really is all about transformation. It's a journey to become more like Christ. A guy by the name of Dallas Willard wrote this. He said, the aim of transformation is not to first act differently, but to become different in our inner being. So as the Holy Spirit changes you from the inside out, you will become different and you will become transformed. You will be conformed to the image of Christ. Christians who join the Holy Spirit must make that intentional decision to allow, if you will, allow the Holy Spirit to come along beside them and transform them. That's why the Bible says, don't grieve Him. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't try to hinder what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in your life. The Bible gives specific instruction not to quench, not to grieve, not to hinder the Holy Spirit work of God. He does a major role in our life. You think about it, He makes a major change. And the New Testament uses the word, the picture describing from a newborn babe to babes in Christ to a full age to becoming elders. And there's a growth process that we go through on this Christian journey that we live. So to change a life, the core of our lives must change. Our devotion, our identity, our character, our mission. The Holy Spirit must change our beliefs. When we change our beliefs, the Holy Spirit helps us replace those with new beliefs, new things based on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the hard one. Behavioral change. Change occurs as the Holy Spirit leads us to make decisions about changing our outer actions. And this deals with Jesus changing the gap between the heart and the behavior and what we carry it out. Matthew talks about that in Matthew chapter 15. A heart change is that deep change of attitudes and values and motivations. And when the heart change happens, there's an integration between the choice and the attitude. So when all three begin to happen, our beliefs, our behavior, and the heart change, then when we see those three things, the beliefs, the behavior, and the heart change, then a biblical transformation begins to take place in our heart and in our life as believers. Our minds, our hearts, our wills become changed to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit blends all three together in a transformative way, then the core of our life is changed. And so the question becomes today, my friend, are you changed? You know, the day from the moment you got saved, you should be different today. Every day is a day to change, to be different, to allow the Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out, to make us who He wants us to be, conform us to the image of Christ. And you are not alone today as you travel. The Holy Spirit is our alongsider. He goes along beside. I can't see Him. I can't touch Him. I can't feel Him. But I know He's there because the Bible abundantly makes it clear that every step I take, every thought I have, everything I do, the Holy Spirit goes beside me. He walks with me. He guides me. He directs me. He comforts me. He convicts me of my sin. He shows me the path forward. He helps me along the way. The Holy Spirit is the change agent that will help you and I change to be conformed, transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love You. God, we thank You for the Word of God today that makes it abundantly clear about the work and role of the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, we love You. Holy Spirit, we thank You for the work that You do in our hearts and in our lives, convicting us of sin, drawing us to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so, Father, today I just pray that the Holy Spirit, that we would not grieve Him, that we would not quench Him, that we would not hinder Him in any way, that we would allow Him free rein to be able to transform our lives into the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, today, convict us of our sin. Show us where we're weak. Show us what we need to do better. Help us to go down the right path. Help us to make the right life choices along the way. Help us to change where we need to change. And may the Holy Spirit reveal that to us individually today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, friend, today one of the greatest changes, the greatest change you'll ever make, is to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. He'll change your life forever. And if you want to change in your life, you've never yet come to Christ, you've never been born again, never yet received Christ as your Savior, you can do that right now, today, right this moment. And if you'd like to do that, I'd like to walk you through a simple prayer today If you desire to be saved, desire to be born again, just pray this prayer in your heart today, right where you sit or right where you listen by live stream today. Dear Heavenly Father, I recognize today that I am a sinner. I cannot get to heaven on my own. So God, today I confess my sin and ask you to forgive me. And I repent of my sin and ask Jesus to come into my heart. And with my mouth make confession today, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for eternal life. Father, today, save my lost soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together, if you will, today. We're going to give an invitation today. And as we do so today, I want to encourage you, if you want to come to pray, the altar is open. But the Holy Spirit is your change agent. He's walking along beside you. He's with you every moment, every step. He's with you when you don't even think that he is there. Whatever you're going through, my friend, you're not alone. He's there. And before we even pray, God knows what we have need of today. So whatever's on your heart and life today is a good opportunity to pray about that right now. If I can be of help to you in any way, I'd be glad to pray with anybody here at the altar today. If you trusted Christ as your Savior, we'd love to visit with you about that decision today. As Brother Ron leads us today, if you would. Please, sir. Father God, we love you today. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for our salvation today. Father, it's our desire today as believers in Christ to be transformed into the image of Christ. Holy Spirit, we love you. We thank you for who you are, the role that you do, the work that you play, the importance that you are in our lives today. And Father, may we know and sense and realize that you're with us every step on this journey of life. God, we love you. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name. Remain standing, if you will. Brother Ron's going to dismiss us in the service today. Good to see you in church, if you will. Brother Ron.
Okay, we can't leave without doing that song one more time. I won't sleep if we don't do it again. I'm just telling you. So, Avery, you ready? Come on up. Don't you wish more Christians were that excited to come up here? We got our mic on. Oh, yeah. You ready? Say something in your mic. No? Okay. Let me hold that. Thank you. So we are going to sing this again, and we are going to praise the Lord one more time. Oh, Lily's...
Charlotte wants to come.
Charlotte. Man.
Charlotte, come on. She wants to come up here and sing.
Charlotte, come on up here and sing with us.
Come on.
Come on, Charlotte. You might as well. Your grandpa's got his phone out. So you might as well. She's not running, though. You want to stand next to Avery? We got a microphone. Here we go. Here we go. And we are. Oh, geez. Here
you go.
I would just like to know who that little girl's parents are. That's all I would like to know. So are we ready?
I'm going to hold it this time.
You are?
Yeah.
Well, you want me to move the stand? Yeah. Let's get that out of the way. Say, get out of the way, stand.
Get out of the way, stand.
All right, here we go. Turn her up, babe. I'll praise when I'm sure.
Jesus.